Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Learn more of God's Word and grow deeper in your walk with Christ.
Well, right now here at Canton Baptist Temple, we are devoting some time to emphasizing missions. Those who have not been to our church during our missions emphasis will have to learn some new lingo that goes along with it. One is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is God's plan to go into the world and preach the gospel to every person on the planet and to baptize them and to make disciples of them. And we get that from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." There we have the Trinity. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so we talk about the Great Commission and being defined there for us. Then we talk about mission conference, because we're going to have a mission conference that starts next week. What is a missions conference? A missions conference is an event to educate and motivate people to be a part of the Great Commission. So we have the Great Commission, then we have a missions conference, and messages are preached about the Great Commission, and Pastor Frazier's already done some of that. And then starting next week, we have missionaries are going to be here, so you can meet those missionaries. So a missions conference is an event to promote the Great Commission. And it's interesting that both the Great Commission and mission conference were phrases coined by William Carey in the 1700s. William Carey is often called the father of modern missions. He was a shoemaker, a schoolmaster, and a pastor of a Baptist church in England. He was very smart and read lots of books. By the age of 21, listen to this now, he had mastered Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Italian, and was working on Dutch and French. That amazes me, and that amazes most Americans, because we know Americans in foreign languages. There's a joke that's told that says, what do you call somebody that can speak three languages? That's trilingual, three languages. What do you call somebody that speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call a person that speaks one language? American. But he had mastered all that by the time he was 21. Today we're going to look at his journey from being a shoemaker to a pastor to the father of modern missions. His journey is a good journey to follow if we want to be a part of the Great Commission that God has given us. It took several steps for Carey to go from being that shoemaker to being the father of modern missions. And we can become as passionate about missions as William Carey was by taking the same three steps. The first step is, I need to know there is a Great Commission. That's where it starts. I need to know there is a Great Commission. Now, in Carey's day, the Christians and pastors did not believe that there was a Great Commission. People of that day believed it was God's job, not their job, to reach people around the world. They believed that Matthew 28, 18 through 20 was a command given to the 12 disciples only. And that was their job to do that, but it stopped when they died. It didn't apply to them. But as Carey read sermons from fellow pastors of his day, like Jonathan Edwards, who believed and preached the Great Commission that commanded all Christians to be active in God's plan to reach the world. And as he read some accounts of some Moravian missionaries who were sending out missionaries to reach the world, he became convinced that all Christians of every age were responsible to fulfill Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. When he read about the journeys of Paul, Carey felt like the people of his day needed the gospel as much as the people of Paul's day needed the gospel. And he felt like he had to do something. So now Carey knew that God was calling all Christians to be active in reaching people around the world and called to fulfill the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now I bring that up because I have a question for you. Do you know the Great Commission? And in a church like this, you'd say, of course I know what the Great Commission is. But I ask that because less and less people now believe in the Great Commission. A recent survey of churchgoers, and remember the word churchgoer, a recent survey of churchgoers done by George Barna shows some shocking statistics. When churchgoers were asked, have you heard the Great Commission? When churchgoers were asked that question, 51% replied no. 51%, over half, had no clue what it was. 6% replied, I'm not sure if I know it or not. 25% say they had heard of it, but they didn't know what it meant. They have heard the Great Commission, but they couldn't tell you what it was. Only 17% said yes, that they had heard the Great Commission, and they knew what it meant. Those are shocking statistics, especially for a church like this, because I'm fully convinced if a survey like that was taken in this church, that well over half of the people would say, yes, I have heard of the Great Commission, and yes, I know what it means. But this survey highlights the need for missions conferences, the need for Christian missions offering, the need for putting missionaries in the bulletin and highlighting a missionary that we're praying for every week is because less and less people know it. So the first step is to know the Great Commission. The second step is I need to own the Great Commission. I need to know it and I need to own it. Once Carey knew about the Great Commission, the next step was for him to own the Great Commission. Now, you see, we can know something, but we don't own it. For instance, I know about Weight Watchers. I know who they are and what they do, but I don't own Weight Watchers because I don't do what they say. See, it's one thing to say I know something. It's another thing to say I own it. If I owned it, I would be on it. Once Carey knew about the Great Commission, his life was forever changed because he knew the Great Commission required action on his part. And once he knew that, the Great Commission became more and more consuming to him. And the spiritual need around the world became more consuming to him. He was a shoemaker, and he began to take strips of the leather he used for the shoes, and he made globes out of those strips of leather so that he could look at that globe that he was making to remind him of the fact that God was concerned with the whole world. He liked to read, and he liked to read about explorers and exploring. In fact, his friends nicknamed him Columbus because he liked to read about explorers so much. And one of the explorers he liked to read about was Captain James Cook. And Captain James Cook traveled the world and wrote journals about his journeys around the world. And he read about new lands that he had discovered and new people that he had found. But when Carey read those journals, all he could think about was these new people that Cook was coming across in his explorations needed Jesus Christ. Carey wrote, "If it be the duty of all men to believe the gospel, then it be the duty of those entrusted with the gospel to endeavor to make it known among the nations." You see, it was consuming him now. He was owning that. We've got to do something. He did not know at that time what God would use him to do yet, but he knew that he had to be a part of the Great Commission. And my question for you on this is, have you owned the Great Commission? God is actively working in the world to save the lost. Jesus came to do that, and he commissioned us to be concerned about the world. God has enlisted you to be a part of that. There are those that God is going to call to go. And the part of every missions conference is that people will surrender to go to the mission field. And God may deal with you about that. And God may call you to go and to be a missionary around the world. Amen. But then the ones that don't go, God has us here to support those who do go. William Carey is the one who said, "I will venture to go down, but remember you who remain home must hold the ropes." So you see, God has us all involved in missions, and Carey recognized that. Carey recognized it would take just more than a missionary going. It'd be a part, be people here supporting those who go. Carey is also the one who said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." And I want you to know that our missionaries are attempting great things for God and expecting God to do great things just like he did. We must be the one that holds the ropes for our missionaries. Our missionaries need our prayer support and our financial support and our emotional support and our spiritual support. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Big doors are still open for our missionaries. When you read the missionary letters, and I just want to encourage you that when the missionary letters are passed out on Sunday mornings, the first Sunday of the month, take a stack of those letters. I'm telling you, it is fantastic reading in the spiritual realm. It is fun to read about what our missionaries are doing around the world and what God is doing through them. They are filled with opportunities to proclaim the gospel. They are filled with requests for us for more workers and for more ways to reach the people because they need more buildings, they need more workers to reach the people that are around them. Great things are taking place. Karen and I have seen that in our missionary trips. In our missionary trips that we have been on, we have seen workers, missionaries working very hard to reach people. Well, I remember one country that we went to where the pastor, the missionary was there, and he had started three churches, and he was training nationals to take the churches. But before he could get the nationals trained, here was his schedule as he tried to pastor three churches. On Sunday morning, he was in church number one. On Sunday afternoon, he was in church number two. On Sunday evening, he was in church number one. And Tuesday evening, he was in church number three. On Wednesday evening, he was in church number one. On Thursday evening, he was in church number two. And on Saturday evening, he was in church three, having all the classes and the service like you would on Sunday morning. And he was just running ragged. Why? Because people had actually come to him. He had started a church, and they said, "Would you start a church in our area too?" There are great opportunities available for our missionaries just as they were available to Paul. Amen. Missionaries need our support, yes, because the doors are open. But there are many adversaries, just like in Paul's day. That's why it takes all of us, because we need to read the missionary letters so we know what the adversaries our missionaries are facing, so that we can pray for them intelligently, so we can pray with them about what they're actually going through as they go through it. You have an opportunity to attend the missions conference to really get to know your missionaries so that you can really, truly pray for your missionaries. I'm completely convinced it is hard to pray for people you do not know. But it is easy to pray for people you do know. No one can keep you from praying for somebody you do know that's going through something very difficult. Just recently, some of you know that my son was in ICU for 5 days, and he's in about a three-week process where he's not quite there yet to be fully recovered, but he was in ICU for 3 days. And I want you to know that there was never a time where somebody had to come and remind me to pray for my son. Nobody had to walk up to me and say, "Your son's in ICU, you should be praying for them." You couldn't keep me from praying for him. I prayed for him. I didn't wait for his wife to call me to give me an update. I called my son's wife and said, "How is he today? What is the progress of today?" Why? Because he's my son. You couldn't keep me from praying. You couldn't keep information from me. I wanted to know everything he was going through, so I knew how to pray for him. Karen went down there to be with him and to help take care of the kids during that time. Why? He was my son. And I want to say to you that these missionaries that are going to be here next week are our missionaries. And we have a great opportunity to get to know our missionaries. And once you know them, you want to pray for them. And when you get that stack of letters, probably the first thing you'll do is flip through it real fast to find any letters from the missionaries that were just here, because you know them. Once we know them, we'll pray for them. Sadly, the number one prayer that people pray for missionaries is, "God bless all the missionaries." That's the number one prayer prayed for missionaries. When you are in the hospital and you're not getting very good news, let me ask you which prayer you would like for the people of this church to pray. Would you like them to pray, "God help all the people that go to Canton Baptist Temple to get well"? Or would you like them to pray for you by name about the specific problem you're going through? I think we would all like for people to pray for us by name and pray for us as we have the tests and pray for us as we go through that surgery and pray for us as we go through that recovery by name. And we need to be doing the very same thing for the missionaries. And one of the ways that we'll do that is if we take the opportunity next week when missionaries are here and the schedule when you can meet with the missionaries is to say, "I'm going to take advantage of that, so I'm going to know them so I can hold the ropes." So that when a missionary letter comes in and it says, "Pray for us, this is what's happening," and you pray for that missionary, and then the next month you get the letter and they say, "Praise God, here's what happened." You were one of the ones that held the ropes. Owning the Great Commission is a big deal. If there is no Great Commission, then there is no action needed on our part. Knowing the Great Commission is good, But we need to take that next step and to own the Great Commission. Because just knowing it doesn't lead to prayer. It doesn't lead to attendance at missions conference opportunities. It doesn't lead to giving. But owning it does. Then Carrie took the third step, where he said, I need to proclaim the Great Commission. William Carey learned about the Great Commission and owned the Great Commission, but then he got very frustrated when the people and the pastors around him didn't agree with him, and he actually faced resistance. In one of the meetings, the pastors' meetings Carey was preaching in, he stood to argue the value of overseas missions. And while he was talking, he was rudely interrupted by an older minister who said, young man, sit down. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me. So he faced great resistance in bringing forth this Great Commission. But resistance did not deter Carey. He published a groundbreaking missionary manifesto called An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. That's a book just reading the title. And in this book, it had five parts. The part one was a theological justification for missionary activity, which they needed. Part two was an outline of the history of missionary activity from the early church to his day. Part three was 26 pages of populations and religions around the world. Part four was answers to objections to sending missionaries. And it's interesting in that part four that the same objections we hear about today, he had to deal with back in the 1700s. Like, why are you going to send a missionary there when we have a need for people to be saved here? The same objections. And then part five, Carey called for a mission organization to be formed to send out missionaries. In his conversations with people and the messages he preached, he constantly spoke about the Great Commission. But at one meeting with pastors, he just knew that it was time to now take action. He had talked about this. He had written this manifesto on this. He had preached about this. And he prepared a message at a pastor's meeting. And he felt like with this message, this is going to change everybody's mind about the Great Commission. And the pastors are going to get it together. And they're going to start sending out missionaries. And he stood up and he preached. And he poured his heart out. And after he got done preaching, everybody just got up to walk out. It was just another sermon to say, well, another sermon, that's over, let's just move on. And he couldn't handle it. And he said, somebody call them back. Somebody tell those people to come back in. We have got to take action on this. And somebody did call them back. And he says, we have got to move on this now. And because he preached that message and because he called them back, they were able to form a Baptist society for the propagating of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost around the world. He did not stop. This marked the birth of a modern missionary movement, which over the next 150 years sent tens of thousands of missionaries around the world. Why did I tell you all this about Carey? Why did I tell you all he did in proclaiming the Great Commission? Because the Great Commission always needs people who, against all odds, proclaim the Great Commission. He changed his world, and you are needed to proclaim the Great Commission. Now is the time to add your voice to William Carey's voice and to do whatever you can to tell others about the Great Commission. People you know need to know the Great Commission. People you know need to own the Great Commission. Let me tell you what's happened in my lifetime with the Great Commission. In my father's day, I have been in church my entire life. I was one of those that was in church right after I was born. In fact, I was raised in a Christian home. When my mother told me how to get saved, I believed it all, but I was one of those guys that had to sin just so I could get saved. That was a joke. In my father's generation, lots and lots of missionaries were sent around the world. They were going to new places. They were opening new countries with the gospel. There were missionaries going everywhere. But something began to happen in my lifetime. That was my father's generation. In my generation, less missionaries were going. It was sort of a maintenance time. No new fields were being opened. And we were kind of maintaining how many missionaries there were and how many countries that had been reached. But then in my son's generation, things began to not go so well. Less and less missionaries were sent out. In fact, some of the countries that had missionaries in them, when my father's generation began to die and to retire, those mission fields began to close in my son's generation. Southern Baptist did a survey recently that showed that for the last 26 years, year by year, less missionaries have been sent out from the United States. That means that every single year for the last 26 years has declined. More countries now don't have missionaries in them that used to have missionaries in them. In fact, the United States, which used to be the number one sending missionary country in the world, is now listed at number three. And I praise God for those other two countries that are ahead of us. But there are still so many places in the world that need to be reached that it's just sad to see that we are declining in the number of missionaries being sent out. But it's gotten even worse with my grandchildren's generation. In my grandchildren's generation, I told you about George Barna and the survey he did about the Great Commission. He did another survey that just came out about a month ago. It said, in my grandchildren's generation, 47% believe it is wrong to share your faith with somebody else. It's not just that I'm afraid of rejection, so I'm not going to share my faith. It's not just that. They believe that it's wrong to share their faith. How many missionaries do you think is going to come with a generation where 47% believe it's wrong to share your faith? And what I want to say to you is, what's going to happen here? I mean, with my dad, missionaries going everywhere, countries being opened, my generation just kind of maintenance, my son's generation, as the missionaries died, nobody took their place, and now we have a generation that says it's wrong to share our faith. William Carey stood by himself and changed England for missions. We're not standing by ourselves. We still have lots of people that believe in missions, lots of people that believe in missions in this church. But if we're, what's going to happen to this generation here, I don't know. But I do know that we can all be a William Carey in our world. Now, we may not have the platform that a William Carey had, where he wrote books and he was preaching in pastors' meetings, but we can all have an influence in helping people know and own and proclaim that Great Commission. And again, that starts really with us and this missions conference and what we can do in this missions conference. You can be that voice for the Great Commission to your world. Plan on being at every event of the mission conference. Surely the lost souls of the world deserve your time to hear about the efforts to reach them. I cannot imagine what missionaries go through. I can't. My wife and I have been on the road for about 3 weeks. And I try to imagine, just been my wife and I try to imagine taking my kids when they were, you know, maybe junior age to teenage, taking my kids and putting them in the backseat of a car for 2 years while I went from church to church to try to raise support to get to reach a lost world. Can you imagine that with your kids? Maybe your kids are perfect. My wife's kids sure weren't. But I just think about all that they do to get to the field. And surely it's worth enough of our time to say, I want to be there. I want to be there to meet that missionary so I can hold the ropes. Personally invite those you know to attend with you. I want you to know something. You'll be amazed how much influence you actually have. There are all kinds of conversations that take places in church hallways. And some of the conversations go like this. Well, we got a missions conference coming up next week, and we got some evenings where we're going to have some missions meetings next week and all that kind of stuff. Are you going to go? Well, I just don't know. I'm just not sure. You know what you just did? You said, that's not worth my time, and it's not worth your time either. And the sad thing about that is maybe they would have come if somebody would have been a little bit more positive, a little bit more encouraging. And maybe if they had come, then they would have started praying for that missionary. You wouldn't, that's obvious. But maybe they would have started praying for that missionary. And I'm telling you, those missionaries that come covet people's prayers. The greatest gift we can give a missionary is not money. The greatest gift we can give a missionary is prayer. It's prayer. And maybe if you'd been more encouraging in those hallway conversations, somebody would have come and say, I'm going to start praying for our missionaries. Maybe there was somebody in that family that if they had come, they'd have felt God's call in their life to be a missionary. So you have a great influence over what happens in the missions conference, because you can decide to come and you can say, I'm going to invite people to come and I'm going to be an influence. I'm going to see what I can do. Every age needs some William Careys. Will you be a William Carey? Because I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen over here. I just know it's a far cry from my Father's Day. And I want to see things turned around, and I want to see things headed in this way, where we are passionate about reaching the people in our area with the gospel, and we are passionate about reaching people around the world. Because remember, this is God's plan, not Canton Baptist Temple's plan. Amen. This is God's plan, not Mike Frazier's plan. This is God's plan because it's right in the Bible. So where are you in the three steps needed to change the world for the glory of God? Do you know the Great Commission? And hopefully if you didn't, then you know a little bit more about it today. Do you own the Great Commission? That means that you know about it and you believe it and you know that it takes action on your part and you're going to do whatever God has called you to do to be a part of His plan to reach the world. And do you proclaim the Great Commission? In those hallways in the churches, as those conversations take place, are you saying, this is important? Like William Carey said, come back, come back. We've got to take action. We've got to do something. And we say that to people we know. This is important. This is God's plan to reach the world, and we've got to be a part of it.
Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.